Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
And, you know, when I walked in here, and we were back in the back, We just the sweetness, the gentleness of God that is here, because both of you, we're all to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit, but I think there are some people God highlights some of those. It's one fruit, but I think there's certain bites out of that fruit that others took a bigger bite out of. And that is one of the things about both of you. You walk in such gentleness and the sweetness of His Spirit. You don't always find that. We all have a lot of rough edges. I've never seen your rough edges. I'm just thankful for that. Now, y'all probably know each other's rough edges, I'm sure. But I am just so thankful you called me and asked me to come. My wife, Lisa, wanted to be here tonight. We have been moving our oldest daughter, Ashlyn, and Spencer Bell. They've been our worship pastors now for 13 years, and they just transitioned to a new ministry, of which I sit on the board of the Ramp, Karen Wheaton and the Ramp, and they've actually moved there, and they've gone on staff there at the Ramp. And they took three of our grandchildren away. And this has been, you know, so today was actually when I hugged Ash today, they were leaving. We had already moved them, but they came back for the weekend. And so Lisa's not here tonight. She is in mourning, sackcloth and ashes. And then we moved my youngest daughter to college at the end of this week. And now after 37 years, I told Adam is our oldest, and he and Lindsay and they're only 2 minutes down the road from us, so I still got Rosalind and Grace are going to be running amok at the house as much as possible. But I told him coming over, I said, you know, this will be 37 years we've had children in the house. And we have four kids, five grandchildren, but we don't have almost 20 that is happening in the DeVries home. Which you're my hero, both of you. But so Lisa is there, but I believe in giving honor to whom honor is due. And I'm so grateful for, I could just sit here and lose it right now. I'm so grateful for God. It's amazing how families can kind of be spread out too far and how He brings family back together. And these last few months have been one of the most amazing gifts from God. And I have so loved our time together. And God's just brought family together. The Rock, the Well, we've always been family, but He's just kind of, we're digging a little deeper in the well. How many know what I'm saying? I mean, you take a rock and throw it in the well, and that's going to make a big splash and go deep. And I'm grateful for that. So, Pastors Greg and Gretchen, you are friends, your family, your all of your children and your grandchildren, and it's an honor. And I'm so grateful. Thank you for coming tonight. You're preaching tomorrow night. I wish I could be here tomorrow night because you're going to be with us at the Rock August the 13th. They're coming to pour into the house on that Sunday morning, a very prophetic moment of our church. And I'm so grateful you're coming, and because God just blended it all together again. And I'm thankful for that. I'm going to talk to you about January, too, for our champions. I want you to. Well, I thought I'd just take care of that right now. But Pastor Chris Mitchell, I love you. You are a brother from another mother. You're older than me, a lot older. We're the same color hair, but yet still, you're really old. But I'm very thankful for you, you and Jamie. They not only oversee the Dream Center in Huntsville, but also they campus pastor the Madison campus, of which they were part of Scottsboro for a year. And so thankful for you. And I tell you what, there's a dear man of God, Pastor Michael York. He and his wife, Sherry, many of you know, in Rainesville area, pastored for years, retired. They hang out with us in Huntsville a great deal, well, all the time. And I love you, Pastor Michael, and it's so good to see you tonight. Well, everybody ready for the word?
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, my. I don't know. I want you to take your Bibles, hold them up. Would you say this with me? I am.
I am.
Turn them on, whatever you read from. I am what His Word says I am.
I can do
what His Word says I can do.
I can be
what His Word says I can be.
So right now,
I will hear His Word,
I'll receive His Word,
and I'll obey His Word
because I love His Word.
I want you to take your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 14. I even got the shirt, Summer Hunger, and this is the third year, right? Like I said, second year, knew that. And I was praying for tonight. I said, Lord, they've put this statement on these meetings for a reason. Because here we are in summertime, and we need a hunger for God to rise up. Because the hunger and the hungry and the thirsty are filled and satisfied. Amen. And so I wanna kind of stay with that. But I was reminded of this guy that he was on a little Cessna plane. He was flying over to one of the islands there in the Bahamas somewhere, and he kind of crashed on a deserted island. He was down there for 10 years. No one could find him. They thought he was dead. And so finally this boat pulls up after 10 years. And they're like, he comes running out of the bush. And he's like, finally, you found me. And they were like, we didn't know you were here. And he said, well, I'm ready. I've been here 10 years. And I've just marked the day when I'd be rescued. And he said, well, we're here. Let's go. And so he said, well, I got to go in and get my stuff. So they followed him in, and there were three huts sitting there. And the first, he said, what are these? And he said, well, that's my house right there. He said, all right. And he said, I'll go get my stuff. He said, what's that hut? He said, well, that's my church. It's where I worship. That's incredible. Well, what's the third one? He said, well, that's the church I used to attend. So just some things don't even change on an island, is it? I mean, it's okay to laugh, all right? But I want to paint a picture for you today. And I pray you'll open your heart. And I'm preaching to me tonight. Is that okay? I need to remind me of some things tonight. As I begin to pray and say, Lord, what would you have me pour into this house, pour into this city? Pour into this vision of the well. And I pray tonight you'd open your heart. If not, I'll be the first to respond to the altar. So, you know, it's really, you know you're really pressing into God when you get saved under your own, at your own altar call. You know, and so, but I, just something that God's been speaking in my heart that I want to pour into you today. John chapter 14, I love this chapter. It's the beginning of the discourse of Jesus in the upper room, basically, where he's getting them ready for what he's about to do. He started out, John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go away, I'm coming again to receive you in myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's preparing them. If you'll always look at the word, that this is the language of worship. It's the language of the heart of God. If you want to learn the depth of worship, learn the word for worship. Good. It's more than just seven Hebrew words that represents the different forms, the different expressions of worship. I'm going to give you one of those tonight. But this is the language. It's the heartbeat of God. He will never lead us into worship or give us the language of worship outside of what he's already spoken to us. You see, if we can't believe what he has said,
If we don't learn and know and become intimately acquainted with what he has said, we will never know how to discern what he's saying. Because he never goes outside of the living word. This word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we would behold his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Because when you behold him, you become like him. My pastor used to say, Bishop Paul Zink used to say all the time, what you behold, you become. I think sometimes we're beholding the wrong thing. So we've become an American church of worshipers without even engaging in worship. So hear me. So what is this in verse 29? I want to read this passage because I believe this is a picture of setting the stage of the worship service Jesus was stepping into. And it says in verse 29, "And now I have told you before it comes," he's saying to those disciples in that upper room, "that when it does come to pass, you will believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know," watch this, "that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me the commandment, so I do. Arise, let's go from here." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I ask you in these next few moments, that once again, you would allow my tongue to be the pen of a writer, that I could write your heart to your amazing people today. Holy Spirit, would you arrest me? Would you just captivate my heart in you? Lord, I pray that we wouldn't allow any distractions. I pray you'd expose any idols, anything that would cause us to become idle. That, Lord, we would set our gaze on the beauty of who you are. Give us a glimpse of worship tonight. Give us a glimpse of your heart. And I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. In Matthew 18, here's what Jesus, in teaching the governmental authority, it's one of those passages that Jesus is teaching us that he's given us all power and all authority. And here's what he said. He said, "I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them." You say, why is that important? There are actually seven Hebrew words for praise. All of them, the root meaning is thanksgiving. It's giving of thanks. Thanksgiving always requires giving. To be thankful is to be giving. What do we give, man? I have nothing to give in myself that's worth anything to the King who has everything. What do I bring? I got nothing to bring to this. I'm bringing a knife to a gunfight. I have nothing that brings significance except what he has already given me. I can't even say to Jesus, "I love you," except that he said to me first, "I love you, Rusty." So I return what he's given me. It's actually walking in agreement with what he has said about me. Because if he's our everything, then he's our everything. He's either everything or he's not anything. Because he doesn't require just anything, he requires everything. Worship is not just based on your just anything, it's based on everything. This isn't a half-hearted commitment or covenant because God's not a half-hearted God. He gave it his all. He gave everything. He left, he bankrupted heaven so that we could have the possession, the greatest possession of the Ancient of Days, the Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was, who is to come. He is our, and when we understand the language, just stay with me tonight. There's power in agreement. One of the words for, there are many different words. We could talk about what it means, a tahila. We could talk about yada. We could talk about zamar. We could talk about all these. There are seven Hebrew words, and I'm sure probably your pastor, if not, I know this man of God can preach that because I know he lives that. He's a passionate Heart of David worshiper. But I want to talk to you about one Hebrew word and connect it to the heartbeat of God. And that is the word todah. When you look at Psalm 100, you come into his gates with thanksgiving. It is with todah. You can't even come into the presence of worship of the one we worship without this word called todah. It is actually a legal term. It's a court of law. It's as if you were sitting in a court of law. You lift your hand and you put your hand on the other hand on his word. And you say, I covenant to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth according to what God has already declared. It is saying the same thing. It is the word for agreement. It's, in other words, he says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The agreement says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If the word says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, then I respond, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. It is me saying what he has said and in agreement that what he has said is what he has said. Are you with me? It's a todah praise. It is the place of agreement. But you got to understand, where two agree, there's really nothing impossible. If two of you should agree as touching anything, and you ask the Father in my name. Why is that key? Because when we ask something, it's not to be of something to consume it on our own lust or our own desire. He's saying, no, I want you to ask me things I have already put my signature on. I want you to ask me, how do I know what to ask him for? Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Does it mean I can just ask him for anything? Spiritual roulette, just thumb through it and go, hey, whatever you, I want that. Gimme, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. Come on, God. I mean, we've had enough of that stuff. But when you ask anything, Paul said, according to the will of God. Those are the things I've assigned for you. And it's learning what agreement is. What is this heart of worship? What is this worship of agreement? See, but understand, not only has God positioned us to agree with him, given us enough faith to say yes and amen to him, but the enemy is also looking for agreement. He's looking, because agreement is the place of power. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Hold on. Here's what Jesus said. Why this passage? He said, guys, I'm about to take care of something. I'm not going to talk to you much after what I'm about to do because I'm not dealing with you. This is for you, but it's not about you. This is for your sin, but it goes much deeper than that. So I'm not going to talk to you much about this. You've got to trust me. Know that you've been walking with me for 3.5 years. Trust that I am about to step into a place you can't come with me. But it's okay. I'm doing this for you. But I'm stepping into this service, this place of worship, that you can't come right now but you will follow me. Now watch this. What does that mean? When he said this, the ruler of this world, the prince of this world, the God of this world, he's known as Satan, the adversary, the accuser. It's interchangeable with diabolos, which means devil. He said the devil is coming. The ruler of this world is coming. In other words, this trial you're about to see me walk through is coming. Not only is he coming for me, he's coming for you. The temptation is coming. He knew that Satan was coming for him in this moment. And at the exact same moment, they are about to walk out of the room. Judas Iscariot has been arranging the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, the enemy is coming. He's looking for an open door, a cracked window, anything opening that would cause chaos or confusion or to interrupt the satisfaction of God. Now, I'm going somewhere, so hang with me. It's the moment of the war of the soul. The mind, the will, the emotions is about to be fought. It's all over worship. Jesus is the beginning. He's beginning the last stanza, the final bar of a worship service that will change the entire format of worship for all of eternity. In the garden, he will pen the most powerful Todah to have ever been uttered, and it would be these words, not my will, but your will be done. Paul would say, lest Satan should take advantage of us and that we would be ignorant of his devices. The word device means mental perception, thought, an evil purpose, what one thinks, the mind. It is thoughts or purposes. That's why it says in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the mind tricks. That's why you get a helmet of salvation that protects you and delivers your mind from these tricks that's trying to give you a reading that God never read to you. Wow. Hear me. He's desiring to taint your heart, defile your conscience, to strip your faith. Can I say that one more time? He's desiring to taint your heart, to defile your conscience, to be able to strip your faith. And Jesus said, that's the one who's coming. But listen, he said, he has nothing in me. Nothing in me. What that means is nothing in me. In me, he has nothing. No claim on me, no power over me, nothing to work with, no legal ground, no place of agreement. Can I say that one more time? Jesus said to them, get this. He's coming to try to find agreement, but he has nothing in me. He has nothing, no claim on me, no power over me, nothing to work with, no legal ground, no place for agreement. The enemy was looking for agreement, legal ground for authority. Do you know that true worship will always strip the enemy of any kind of legal authority that he once had over your life? It's worship. This worship had nothing to do with the devil. It had everything to do with the holiness of God. Jesus owed the devil nothing, yet the holiness of God demanded everything. This sacrifice of praise would be heard for all of eternity and through all of eternity. He said, Satan had absolutely no hook, no foothold, no toehold of deception. He had no agreement in him. That meant he could not push Jesus to the cross. Jesus went lovingly, obediently to God the Father out of his love for his Father, in obedience to his Father, and his love for us. Todah of praise. The world may know that Jesus loved the Father by watching him worship through his obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Now I'm going somewhere. We're just not there yet. Look at your neighbor and say, I think this is going to be for somebody like you tonight. How many just love Jesus in here? Let me see your hands. Come on. Listen, that's what I sense today. I mean, there's some people, you may be away from God, and I believe before this is over with, you're gonna be a prodigal coming home tonight. But I just sense there's just people, you're hungry. It's summer hunger. How many want to dig a little deeper in the well? Come on. You see, the power of agreement. Do you know that's what covenant is? Covenant is the cutting of an agreement. It's an agreement between two people or two groups that involves promises on the part of each to the other. It does not have an end date. It is a permanent agreement. It is the staying factor. It can never, watch, be rewritten. However, it can be rejected. It can never be rewritten. What God, in establishing, he is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He is the God of covenant. If he ever made the promise, he will keep it. He is the God who said, let there be, and anything he said, let to, it became. Because he's a God of covenant. He never forgets his word. Do you realize this whole walk with him is not about having a visitation from God? This is about a habitation. This is about God inhabiting. Do you not know this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You have of God, you're not your own. You have been bought with a price, and you can glorify him here in this temple, in this body, where he does not dwell with temples made with hands. This is a cool place you took once. They were shooting ammo in here, and now you just got lock and loaded with something else. Let me know what I'm saying. Targets have changed. But look at that. It's God establishing himself. This life of worship is a life of agreement. It is a living todah. It is, I agree. Jesus was the yes and amen to every promise of the Father. Why is that so important? Because he was the first agreement. He didn't come for any purpose except to do the will of him who sent him and finish his work. He said, everything I did, I came because I love my Father. Everything you're about to see, the world's going to know I love Dad and I've obeyed him to the law. He fulfilled the law and the prophets. What we could not do within ourselves, he did for us. He said, where I'm going, you can't come right now. But when I pave the way, you will be able to follow me. And the worship you watch me present to my Father, such will I give to you. You will look at every trial differently the next time you face the trial. You will look at the next time the devil is trying to find agreement in you. He's trying to get you to agree with the doctor and what the doctor said. He's trying to get you to believe and agree with the report. He's trying to get you to believe with that mental battle you're going on inside of you, with that identity crisis you feel like you're trying to face and you can't get out of. He's just looking for agreement. But Jesus said, but I'm the yes and amen to every promise the Father ever gave. I'm preaching a lot better than you're saying amen today. Come on, man. If you'll talk to me, I'll be done here in about 15 minutes. If not, you're going to be here a long time. Long time. Agreement's powerful. It's about a habitation. It's living together with God with every habit of our life. Can I say that one more time? That's what it means to inhabit. It is this inhabitation of the Lord. It's living in him with every habit that I have. Man, habits are hard to break. A bad habit is hard to break. If you can do something for 21 days consecutively, they say you can shift the narrative in how you did it, what you did. If it'll change your mindset, the thing that you set your mind on. If you can do that for 21 days consecutively, well, hey, that may be true. That sounds good. That sounds like a lot of will worship. I can do it myself. But I have found out something, that if I keep my mind stayed on him, he keeps my mind in perfect peace. There is something something that is there and available in a todah, in a yes, in a amen, that takes me from glory to glory, from here to there, and all the living and every trial becomes a praise for his glorious grace. Because the enemy is coming with that trial and that temptation to see if there's a window of opportunity for me to agree with him. Two men walk together, and I say, agree and meet. But God says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. If God is watching over his word to perform it, do you think we need to be watchers of our words that come out of our mouth? Now, we're about to get real. Because I was a worship leader for many years. I love worship. But worship has nothing to do with the lyrics. It has nothing to do. They can stir you emotionally. It has nothing to do with lights or sound, even though that can hinder you or help you sometimes. It has nothing to do with harmonies, even though that can make it beautiful. But worship is not what we have made it. Because I can take you into the backwoods of Africa where there is not anything there. There's no hype. There's nothing that could ever stir you in any way in eating cassava root with monkey head. And still praise breaks out and worship, because this is the life of worship. It is that inhabitation of his presence, and it is something that is affected by how we give our agreement to what God has already said as to how it impacts who we are individually. Now watch this. If God is watching over his word, how important is it? We got seven openings in our head. We got two ears, two eyes, and two nostrils, but only one mouth. Because one mouth, we don't need two. Behold, my mouth hath given me trouble. I tell you, you ever just, on a daily basis, I wish I hadn't said, could I get that back? There's something about atmospheres that are created by the words that we say. Atmospheres of heaven are created by the words that we sing, the words that we say. There are things that happen around us. Relationships are either built strong or relationships are torn apart. The whole phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It was somebody who was deaf and mute and didn't know anything. Because that's a lie. I've been hit by sticks and stones. And words hurt so much more. Went much deeper than any type of club could have ever beat sense into me. Are you hearing me? Words are vital. God's word is vital. He watches over his word to perform it. No word, not one cross of the T, not one dot of the I, will ever pass away that it will not all be fulfilled. That's how he watches. He watches. He gives us this language that not only tells us his promise, but he empowers us to worship with the promise he's given us. I think about when, just a few hours later, Jesus is now arrested. He's at Caiaphas' house. Simon Peter has said, everybody's going to forsake you. Though they all walk away, I will not walk away. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. He's standing there warming his hands at the fire. John brings him in. He's there. He's waiting. A little bitty girl comes up to him and said, I know you were with him. I don't know him. Again, second time, I know us. We saw you with him. I don't know him. And then finally they make this statement and they said, surely you are one of them because your speech betrays you. And he started cursing and swearing and said, I don't know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed, and John said, at that moment Jesus passed by and saw him eye to eye And the scripture says he went out and wept bitterly. What does that mean? Yes, he had the accent of a Galilean. It was the accent of where he was from. He was from Dull Springs, Alabama. Not even two springs there to give you a complex growing up. That ain't something I just try to do. That just kind of comes out. He had an accent, but it was more than a Galilean accent. He was speaking like Jesus. His words were like Jesus. His expressions were like Jesus. His mannerisms had been like Jesus. You can't hang out with Jesus 3.5 years and not talk like him, act like him, love like him. You may be struggling with things, but still it will come out of you if you've been in agreement and walking with him like that. I'm going somewhere. That's the whole phrase. That's why the scripture says in James, I wish I could read the whole thing. And he said, if we could control our tongues, we'd be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want to just with a small bit. A small rudder turns a big ship. A tongue is a small thing, but it makes grand speeches. A tiny spark can make a great forest set it on fire. The tongue is a flame of fire. It's a world, whole world of wickedness. Corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole world life on fire. It can even set on fire by hell itself. That's pretty strong stuff right there. I've met that hellish person a few times. But watch this. Who can tame the tongue? It's restless and evil. It's full of deadly poisoning. Proverbs would say, he who guards his lips guards his life. I'm starting to just watch. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. In other words, to guard your soul, you got to guard your mouth. See, we're talking about worship here. Yeah. We're talking about agreement here. Yeah. We're talking about what we say. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This one piece, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you know what that is? That's agreement. That's all it is. It's agreement. We are saved by agreement. We are kept by agreement. The grace of God that appears to all men teaches us to say no to ungodliness. How do I know how to say no? It's because he said no, I can say no. I'll tie this in. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. But a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. You know, in the Hebrew, it literally means the healing of the tongue brings life. And a deceitful tongue breaches or leaks the spirit. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. In other words, the state of our conversation is a sure guide of our spiritual condition. You say, Rusty, why are you talking about this? Remember the 12 spies? They were sent out to spy the land. Two came back and said, we can. Yeah. 10 said, we can. God said, you can. 10 said, we can't. 2 said, I'm going with God. I'm going to go with God. The 10 were left out. The two were taken in. 10 lost their inheritance. 2 got what they got left over. They got their inheritance and more. Yeah. Why is that important? Because true worship, this todah, this is saying, I am not my own. You bought me. My life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. See, God is into words. Words that shape nations, establish constitutions, of which is being trampled on right now in this nation. Words that were given to bless are now turning to be a curse. David said this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The word let there is very interesting. And I'm tying this now. It'll take me 2 hours to tie it together, but I'm tying this. Don't say that, brother. It's actually the Hebrew word haya. Haya. I like that. Haya. Miss Piggy. Haya. Anyway. I don't know why I just thought of Miss Piggy. I haven't thought of Miss Piggy in a long time. Haya! Don't tell your mom, please, all right? I like that one. Haya, H-A-Y-A-H. It means to become. Occur, come to pass, watch, means to be. In the Old Testament, this word is used 3,560 times. You find it first in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless, it was empty, it was darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was brooding like a mother hen over a nest, waiting for what? The Word. Waiting for the Father to speak and for the Son to act. The Holy Spirit is brooding over the water. Oh, I love that. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. See, God can only create out of himself. He's self-satisfied. He only speaks of himself. He doesn't need anything. He has no need. Everything that he will create is out of himself. So when he said, let there be light, darkness could have been over the face of the deep, yet God was light. He is light. So when he spoke, let there be light, light said, I'm already here. Now I'm going to let you see me. He reveals himself when he seems to be hidden. Yet who he is who he will always be. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He is still watching over his word to perform everything that he will say. And the word becomes rhema, alive. This written logos now says, now let it be as you have said. Let there be light, and there was light. It means it shall be. It has become. What's interesting is when Moses asked God, in Exodus 3, who am I to say has sent me? And God said, I am that I am. You tell them, I am sent you. I am is Hayah.
It is the same word of let. I will become who I need to become to meet the promise that I have given. If I don't have it in reality now, I will create it for you because I promised to give it to you. I am that I am. In other words, I am the word of my mouth. I'm going to let that just sink in just a minute. Let the words of my mouth. I am the words of my mouth. Why do you think the Bible has been so attacked? Why do you think we have now gotten Gen Z, only 4% believe in the infallibility and the inerrancy of the Word of God? Because the enemy is looking for agreement. If he can stop the belief that God is who he says he is, he does what he says he does, he can taint worship in such a way that it is no longer the worship of Jehovah, the great I am, the one who says, "I let it be and it is." He has now tainted it to the point where it's all about me. Yeah. And making me feel better. Making me look good. Worship was never intended to be for us. Everything he has given us is to be returned back to him. And say, "I love you. I give you me. I want the world that they would know that I love you, Father. And that I'm living my life to love them because you have loved me first." My worship is Todah. I am who you say I am. I can do what you say I can do. I can be who you say I can be for the fame of your glorious grace. All for your glory, not my will. Yours. Agreement. I wish I had time to talk about how we many times agree with the enemy. We agree with him with quick words, with lying words, with flattering words. Social media is gossiping words and slanderous words. All it is agreement with the enemy. And what you give agreement to, you give the power in your life for. Whatever you yield to, you lose the power over. And it's not until you let Holy Ghost break that. Let me tell you a story. If you guys would come. I don't know what time it is. If y'all could come, the musicians could come, please. A few years ago, I found myself in a situation that I didn't intend to get in. I had no idea I was in it. You ever had one of those things you kind of walk, you're kind of non-assuming, you're trying to be innocent with something, but yet you sense a warning in your spirit, you just don't know, is that of God or is that pizza? See, something's not, something's not right. I can't put my hand on it, but I'm just going to keep walking. Because I'm so far from perfection. I'm so thankful he's not looking for perfections. Because he's the perfect one. He's just looking for me to walk, to know him, to make him known, and to please him for his smile. But I found myself in a situation with a friend, a couple. We built his ministry friend. Doing some ministry together through the years, and this was a number of years ago. And
started attending our church. It was someone that had been in ministry. I knew they had gone through. I believe in restoration. There's no depth he can't reach. But sometimes in the depth of someone's fall or their life, there can be so many secrets that you only see the surface of things and you don't really see the depth of what it is. And I remember this person got involved secretly with my friend's wife. And I didn't know about that. It all came out ultimately, and they lost their marriage. And I felt like it was on my watch. This person that had deceitfully gotten engaged in that relationship. It was all super spirituality. It was demonic. Just all had this. And I remember that person that some began to say, and I'm very careful. I've tried to be very cautious in my life because I've seen people sowing into people. And as a pastor, I've tried to guard that. There are three G's you try to guard your life in. That's the gold, the glory, the girls. And nowadays the four G is the guys. And that's never been a thing for me, but that's that'll take you down any time, and it'll take a church down. But I remember in this, and I'm this particular person that had really deceitfully, because they were informer in ministry, and they just said, you know, we just want to, I feel like God's called me to sow into your life. And I said, you know, I thank you, but I don't need that. We're fine. God takes care of us. He said, no, I really feel like I'm supposed to sow into your life. And I thought, well, my oldest daughter had gone off right out of high school, and I thought, you know, I'll just take whatever they feel like they want to sow into our life, and I'll sow it into my daughter. And that's what I did. Having no idea what was happening behind the scenes. When everything came out, and it was heart-wrenching. I even had a very well-known evangelist call me one night, was trying to get a grasp on all of this stuff, and I said, man, I don't know. This caught us all off guard, and I was in prayer one day. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I wanted to rebuke this person. I mean, I wanted to call them out. And I could not find the authority to do it. And the Lord said to me one morning, he said, you got a seed in your life. And as long as that seed is in your life, you have no authority in what I want you to take authority of. So you got to sever the seed to be able to walk in authority. I went home and I told my wife, I said, here's what's going on. I set it up with our CFO. And I said, you know what? I'm going to sow a seed into the church. And I want you to, this is nothing. I said, I just need help for this right now. And I said, I don't want them to know it came from me. And I said, here's the seed that person sowed into our family. You send them the seed back. When they got the seed back, I said, let me know when the check clears. And that check cleared. And I felt the authority of God come on my life. I could not prove anything of what I knew in my spirit. But I got that person on the line. I said, that check you got didn't come from our church. I said, that's every penny of a seed you sowed into my family. And I said, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I said, if I can prove what I think in my heart, I will get on television. I will call every pastor I have ever known, and I will expose you to the world. Don't you ever show up in our church again. I better not ever hear your name mentioned in this house again. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Do you know what happened? I never heard from that person again. They never showed up at the church again. And God silenced their voice. God silenced their voice, silenced their ministry. I don't even know why I'm telling you that tonight. But what I'm saying is Jesus said, the ruler of this world is coming. And if you're going to live for the praise of my glorious grace, it will sometimes look like a cross you hang on. But it is still a worship service to my Father, and it is dying to you so you can live to me. This thing isn't about you feeling better about yourself. It is about walking in the agreement that what you say, I want to live my life for. I want to love who you love. I want to be who you call me to be. I don't want this stuff in my life. I want to walk this out for the praise of your glorious grace, to say yes and amen. Because sometimes the greatest, most beautiful sound of worship is the pain of a trial, the pain of a moment that you didn't see coming. And he says, but if you'll just say what I've already said, if you'll let the promise be yes and amen. Son, when you get on the other side of this, you will bless the Lord at all times, and my praise will continually be in your mouth. Father, I thank you. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Come on, somebody lift your hands in this room. Here's what I sense tonight. There's some of you, you've got some seed in your life that he's saying it's time to sever that seed. You had some agreement in your life with some things that it's time to sever and to disagree with what the enemy has said. And it's time to get it out of your life. Because as long as you allow it in your life, you have no authority over it. But the moment you say, I yield that to Jesus, I bring that to the feet of Jesus, I say yes and amen, my friend, the authority of heaven, you find out the power of worship that is a, it is the high praise of God in your mouth and a sharp two-edged sword in your hand. Worship is more than what we sing in here. It is about how we live out there, and the praise and the glory and the honor. Come on, somebody lift your hand and say, Lord, here I am. I say yes and amen to you. If you got things in your life tonight, man, he's been putting some stuff. You said at the beginning, you're preaching to yourself. Yes, I am. I'm saying, God, search me and try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in your everlasting way. I don't want to be sin conscious. I want to be God conscious. I want him to be the focal point. It's not about where you've been. It's about where you are. He will take where you've been. He will wash it in the blood of the Lamb. And he will change where you are so that your feet are established where you're going. Come on, man. If God is speaking to you today, and there's a seed you got to sever. There's an agreement. Man, the moment you begin to break that agreement and say, no, I'm agreeing with God. No, I'm saying yes and amen to him. I just want him. I just want him. I just want you, Jesus. I just want you, Jesus. Just you. Just you. So rebekiste brende rebekivos samande. He has nothing in me. You can decree that, declare that, and say the enemy has given us the best shot, but I'm not going to give him any agreement. He's not going to fit. Jesus said he has no agreement inside of me. What I'm about to do, I'm going to do it for my Father. I'm going to do it what he tells me to do. Whatever he tells you, do it. For the fame of his glory. Everything he said I came to do. As I just want to live for your glory. I want to live for your glory. Glorify your Son that your Son can glorify you. For your glory, Father. Come on. Come on, man. Would you just lift your hands all over this room? If you're on your face, that's fine. Just stay where you are. It's a back. It's that yada. It's that other Hebrew word that's the lifting of the hands, the opening of the palms. It's surrender. I surrender all. Lord, I thank you tonight that every seed, every agreement that's not of you, that you said, I've given you all power and all authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Lord, you said, I've given you authority and power. If two of you would agree, you may not have an agreement with someone else, but agree with me. Agree with what I've already said. I am your righteousness. I am your shield. I am your buckler. I'm the high tower that you run into and find safety. I'm your peace. I'm your joy. I am the one who is long-suffering. I am the one who is gentle. I am the one who is kind. My loving kindness is better than life. Just agree with me. Yes, Lord. I am your forgiveness. I am your freedom. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm your strength. I'm your song. Yes, you are. You're my strength. You're my song. You're my righteousness. You're my joy. You're my everything, Jesus. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Kosherebastiba kolabatere. Yes, amen. You're the love of my life. You're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank you, Jesus. Could you say this to me, Jesus? You are my yes. You are my amen. You are the fulfillment of every promise. You are the one who was. You're the one who is. And you're the one who is to come. You are my Alpha and Omega. The beginning and my end. And you're my everything in between. I am righteous because of you. I'm forgiven. Because of you. I walk in purpose because of you. My agreement is with what you have said. My agreement is what you still say. Your word is a lamp to my feet and the light to my path. Your word, O God, is the sword in my hand. You are the power in my life. Unto salvation. As a matter of fact, you are my salvation. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. You're my sound mind. You are my healer, my wholeness. You are my God. In you I put my trust. I just say you're my everything. I agree. You are my everything. Thank you, Jesus. Every agreement that I've had of the enemy, I sever that in the name of Jesus. Has no authority over me. The prince of this world has come, but he's got nothing in me. Because greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. There is no weapon formed against me that will ever prosper. So I stand in agreement. Let your word be true. Every other man a liar. In the name of Jesus, somebody lift the high praises of God in this place. Come on, give him praise. We give him praise. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Yes. Yes. That's why I want to remind you, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Our agreement is our worship. It's a part of the language. It's covenant. It can never be rewritten. He doesn't take back his word. He is the God of covenant. I don't care how it feels. Don't care what it looks like. Don't care if you're upside down on a cross, bleeding out your last drop. I don't care if you lost the family and everything you ever owned. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. That is the comfort of the Lord, that we can comfort one another. What a faithful God today. Father, I thank you for your presence. Let's just take a moment. Let's just wait on the Lord just for